Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today, we'll set you up for the Giants-Tigers series with Tigers television play-by-play announcer Mario Impemba. Well, Mario, two teams that met in the 2012 World Series are getting together this week right before the All-Star break next week, the Giants and the Tigers, and they're both disappointed with the way the first half of the season has gone. Of course, the Giants have kind of battled out of it a little bit lately. They've won six games in a row coming into the series. Still, they're 18 games under 500. And for the Tigers, at least they're closer to first place, being eight games out, but they're at the bottom of the division. So how is Brad Ausmus dealing with all of this and, you know, everybody involved with the Tigers? Because it certainly hasn't been the season that you guys expected.
Well, I tell you what, Joe, 2012 seems like forever ago, doesn't it? I mean, it was last World Series, obviously, the Tigers have been in. But it's been a disappointing season here. I think that, you know, the Tigers wanted to give it one more shot with this core of players. So Al Avila went to the winter meetings last year, tried to deal some guys, but found that he really wasn't going to get what he wanted in return. So he said, you know what, let's take another shot. And it's really a good core. I mean, when you talk about guys like Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera, J.D. Martinez, Justin Upton, and there's a lot of firepower in this lineup, but it's a very flawed team. You know, they're not very balanced offensively, not too many left-handed batters in the lineup. The bullpen has not been very good, and the starting pitching has just been up and down. So it's been a disappointing first half. I would be shocked if the Tigers did not decide to sell at the trading deadline. It's going to take a tremendous run at this point to get this team going and, to convince Al Avila not to sell. So it'll be interesting next couple of weeks to see what these two clubs do. But certainly the Tigers, I think, right now are in a mode where they might want to consider rebuilding.
Well, one of the bright spots for the Tigers certainly is Michael Fulmer, who's headed to the All-Star game. He's the only All-Star, but he really is a great story. I mean, think about a couple of years ago, he was just trying to find his way with the Mets. Then he gets traded over to the Tigers, and he wins the Rookie of the Year last year. And even though his record isn't great, it seems like he's pitched in bad luck because he's really had a fine season. Tell us about what you've thought of him.
He's pitched in very bad luck. He could easily have 7, 8, 9, 10 wins this year. Obviously, he's a guy that has great stuff. The great story behind Michael Fulmer, it's kind of funny because a couple of years ago, the Tigers decided to sell in 2015 at the All-Star break. They decided, you know, we're not going anywhere. Let's get some pieces. So Dave Dombrowski trades Cespedes to the Mets and gets Michael Fulmer. And then a couple of days later, Dombrowski is fired. So, you know, it's kind of funny that he provides the Tigers with a really big piece to their future rotation, and he's not kind of here to enjoy it. But he's a great pitcher. I mean, he's very talented. He's got a fastball 95-96. He's got a great slider, which is always improving. He's got a really good changeup. So he's a horse. He's a future number one. In fact, he may be, you could argue right now, our number one with the way that Justin Verlander has struggled. But he's a guy that's going to be the anchor to this rotation for a long, long time.
You know, Verlander, it's strange because I just watched him, some of the highlights on Sunday, low lights for him. I mean, he just gets crushed by the Indians. And, yeah, the Indians have a good lineup, but he didn't have a strikeout for the first time in 10 years. And it's got to be puzzling because you look at the stuff, and you watch him all the time, Mario, of course. He's throwing 97, yet they're hitting him. I mean, does he just not have the movement? What's going on with Verlander, you think?
Well, Joe, he's throwing 97, and he's got a great curveball. He's got a very good slider, and he's got a great changeup. So you've got a four-pitch pitcher pitching in the big league that's won a Cy Young, an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, and you wonder what in the world's going on. He suffered a dip in velocity a couple of years ago because of a couple of injuries he had in the offseason, but he was fully back last year. I mean, he was an ace at the end of last season. And so they counted on him with Fulmer and Zimmerman to be really a good top three in the rotation. Well, Zimmerman has struggled. Fulmer has been the real deal. But JV has just been a guy that is, I can't figure out. You know, there are days where feels that maybe he's tipping pitches and he's come out and said that publicly, or maybe there's some sign stealing going on, or maybe that's just sour grapes. I don't know. But it's hard to figure out because the guy has above average stuff. He's been in an ace his entire career. But yesterday was a great example. I mean, he just didn't have the feel for his breaking ball, so he threw his fastball a little bit more. And the Indians, for whatever reason, they've got his number, man. His ERA over the Indians is over 5. And sometimes there are things in baseball you just can't figure out. And right now, Justin Verlander is one of those things.
More with Mario Impemba right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. Well, the other Justin Wilson, is doing a nice job as the closer after Francisco Rodriguez didn't work out and they had to let him go. What does Wilson bring to the table? Because it looks like he's pretty consistent, 8 out of 9 in his save opportunities.
Yeah, and he's a guy that if the Tigers do consider to sell here in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be highly sought after. In fact, I've had a lot of people tell me that a lot of clubs have called the Tigers now inquiring about Justin Wilson. You know, he's a left-handed guy that throws 95, 96, 97. He's got one of those mentalities, I think, that will make him a pretty good closer. He really hadn't had the opportunity until Frankie Rodriguez blew up this year and they inserted Justin in the closer spot. You know, he gets outs, and he's got the ability to strike people out late in games, which is something that we don't have a lot of at the back end of the Tigers' bullpen. You know, we've got some guys who can get outs, but not got a guy that can just come in and get 2 or 3 strikeouts in the ninth inning and close down the game. And that's Justin Wilson. He's done a great job.
On the offensive side of it, I mean, Miguel Cabrera, not himself. I mean, his numbers aren't terrible, but it's not Miguel Cabrera-type numbers. So what has happened to him in your mind?
Well, I think it all started in the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, we have the argument every 4 years, is it detrimental for guys to play in the WBC because they might get injured? You know, they got to crank it up a lot quicker than they were in spring training or would in spring training. And so does that make them injury prone? And I don't know, but it's been proven either way, but I do know this year Cabrera tweaked his back in the WBC early on, and it kind of bothered him the entire World Baseball Classic. And when he got into the season, I think it calmed down a little bit, but it hasn't really totally gone away. And, you know, Mickey's been battling the bad back. He's been battling a bad hip. And he's a guy that in the past has been able to play through these injuries. In fact, he won a Triple Crown a couple of years ago on one ankle. So, you know, the term warrior is thrown out a lot, but he certainly is one. But I think as he gets older now, those injuries are starting to take its toll. He's still in great shape, and he's still got tremendous hand-eye coordination. And in my mind, when he is on, it's the best hitter in the game. But he's been susceptible now to fastballs in. I think a lot of teams now are busting him inside with a fastball. He's had to cheat a little bit and opening up that front side, and you know he has struck out a little bit more. But he's still one of those guys that can float the ball into the seats, you know, in right center field to the opposite field, you know, over 400 feet away with the flick of the wrist. So he's still very impressive, but the numbers are nowhere near what they have been in the past.
You know, there's some pretty good numbers for some outfielders that, yeah, they might get traded because they definitely look like they have value. And Justin Upton, 15 homers, 52 RBIs, J.D. Martinez, over 300 average, and 14 homers. So are those guys kind of sitting there on pins and needles wondering if they might get traded? They seem like really good pieces.
Yeah, I don't think Justin Upton will. I think, you know, he's got an opt-out in his contract next year if he wants to opt out of his contract with the Tigers. J.D. Martinez is another story. I'd be shocked if he wasn't traded at some point this year. I think that he will provide somebody with a tremendous bat, whether it's in the outfield or as a DH, if he stays in the American League. But this guy has really changed his swing path since coming over from the Houston Astros and has made himself really one of the great power hitters in the game. I mean, he missed the first 33 games of the season with an ankle injury that he suffered in spring training. And all he did was come back and hit like 12 home runs the first month that he was back with the Tigers. So he's an attractive piece. I think JD will be moved. The Tigers are indeed sellers. But I see Upton as a guy that probably sticks around.
You know who my favorite player is on the Tigers? It's Nick Castellanos. You just take off that S, and then my name is in the major leagues, which I've been waiting my whole life for.
He's probably a better hitter than you are, though, Joe.
Oh, man, that's the only problem. But, no, I'm rooting for him. One thing a couple things here that I'm really not totally on board with, and I'm curious to hear what you think of. First of all, analytics. I mean, you know, a lot of it is fun to follow, but when you start reading stories or hear announcers talking about barrels per ball put in play all the time and launch angle and exit velocity, it can be fun, but does it get overused? And how often do you use it? What do you think of the new analytics that are out there?
Yeah, I think it can be overused. I mean, I think a lot of times we see our telecast, we will have launch angles, and we'll use a lot of the StatCast stuff. And I think that sometimes you can bog down a telecast by doing that. And so I think we try and judiciously, choose the stuff we want to choose. But I think it's becoming so mainstream now that if you're not talking about launch angles or exit velocities or bat speed and things of that nature, you're being left behind. So I think you have to do a measure of that stuff. I think you have to be careful with it, though, because I still think while we're trying to attract young fans and this is what they want and this is what they're growing up with, you still have a core of older fans that are sitting on their couch going, what? What in the world is this stuff? So you have to be careful. And, we've done some studies at Fox, and they've shown us some poll studies where they want fans to rank what is most important to them when they watch a television game. And really, statistics and all of the new age analytics really rank very low. So we take that into account, but, we don't want to be left behind either. So I think there's some value in it. The problem with me with analytics sometimes is WAR, for example. There are several different ways to calculate WAR. So which way do you go with? And so I think you got to be careful. But like I said, you can't be left behind, and I think you have to incorporate some of that.
We'll have more with Tigers television play-by-play voice Mario Impemba right after this. Remember that old Abbott and Costello baseball routine? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know is on third? Well, actually, when talking about third, I do know that terzo means third in Italian, as in a third place to gather and share food and wine. That would be for your third meal of the day. Yes, dinner. And it should be your first choice when you're looking for an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant. Located in the heart of Cal Hollow, Terzo is a beautiful combination of modern and cozy. Terzo's food is inspired by the coastal regions around the Mediterranean Sea, sourced from their bountiful local farms and ranches. The eclectic and diverse wine list is attractively priced, draws from regions all over the world, and is designed to pair perfectly with the cuisine. Terzo, 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco. And by the way, I do know Christian Arroyo at third base. I think that young fans and older fans can agree that pace of play is important. You want the game to move along, but at the same time, trying to institute all of these rules to get to that point, I don't know if that's worth it, especially when you consider, Mario, that replay seems to take a lot of time, in my opinion. I was counting, there were a couple of replays recently in Giants games where it took 3 minutes each time, and that's just too long, and they're not always getting the calls right. What are you thinking of replay? You're watching them every night on your telecast, and then you're seeing managers do the challenges. So what's your overall impression of it?
Well, I'll be honest with you now. I was kind of on the fence with replay, and now I just hate it.
Me too.
I don't like replay.
Yeah.
I understand getting it right, but you bring up a good point. I mean, a lot of times we'll show three or four replays of a play, and because it may show that a guy was safe, but it was still a very close play, and the call on the field was out, they're going to stick with the call on the field because it was too close to call, even though you probably could tell the guy was safe. So, there's so many gray areas, but I think more than anything else, yes, you want to get the call right. I agree. But you know what? We played this game for 100 years without replay, and it did pretty well. And now we're just bogging down the game. I mean, even from a technical aspect of us doing television, if you have a bang-bang play at the end of an inning, you can't call that bang-bang play and, and then do your rollout and then go to break. No, you got to wait now because the manager is saying, hold on, we want to look at it. And it just, it kills the tempo of the broadcast. And, you know, obviously who cares about that from a baseball perspective, but for people sitting in the stands, I mean, if you're sitting there, and we've played, for an example, we played 3 4-hour, nine-inning games this year. Three of them that have gone 4 hours
Wow.
and played only 9 minutes. I mean, it's getting to the point now where I think we're losing fans because baseball is slow to begin with, and it's a more methodical and cerebral game. But if you slow it down even more, it's going to be difficult to capture the youth these days who are, you know, so involved in their phones and video games and things like that. So, not a fan of replay, and you know, but it looks like it's here to stay.
Ironically, here you are saying this 7 years after Armando Galarraga had the perfect game that could have been a perfect game, bad call, and then I think there was a lot of replay discussion after that. So in your mind, if you know, if you still had to live with that, would it be okay if we didn't have a replay?
Well, Armando Galarraga lost his perfect game, but the next day they gave him a car at Comerica Park because it felt so bad. The local chef dealer gave him a car, so it was, he made it out okay. Yeah, no, I didn't want Galarraga to lose his perfect game, and in hindsight, you can't have it all. I mean, you've got to make a choice here. It's either yes or no, so you can't pick and choose. And I felt bad about that whole situation. I still do to this day because a guy got robbed of infamy, of making history in the game.
Yeah,
and you know, but that's all part of the human element of the game. You know, Jim Joyce made a call that day that was an incorrect call, but there have been incorrect calls throughout the course of baseball that have affected things. But I think if you look at it, you know, when you start attaching percentages to it, more times than not, umpires are going to get it right. We can keep the game moving. We can keep people involved. And, you know, now we're even talking about electronic strike zones, and that worries me because it's going down a path that I just I don't like.
I totally agree with you. The one thing I could see is if you wanted to scale it back and just make it one call a game, one egregious call, then you could satisfy the Galarraga situation and keep everything moving because that's it. You'd have to save it for that one really bad call that you would want to reverse. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, you know, I would be for that, but, I've seen a lot of managers, you know, using their challenge in the first inning of a game, two batters into the game, and I'm thinking, you know, what are you guys doing? What if you get this call wrong here? Now you don't have a game. I mean, it's, I don't know. I think managers right now, the last thing they worry about is managing the game. I think they got all these other rules they got to think about, and they got the little cards. Well, what's reviewable and what's not reviewable? What's that reviewable? I don't know. Pull out the card. I mean, it's really kind of bizarre. But like I said, I think you need to pick a side. And I used to be kind of on the fence and leaning toward, yeah, replay's great. Let's go with all these changes. But, man, just to sit and watch some of these four-hour games, like, holy smokes, let's get going. We're losing some fans here, and that's not a good thing.
I agree. By the way, I'd like to see that card that Brad Ausmus has because he's so smart, you know, a Dartmouth guy. So that must be interesting to look at. Mario, thanks so much Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's not a tablet. He doesn't use cards.
Exactly. There you go.
He's a Dartmouth guy.
Mario, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I hope to see you one of these days soon. I haven't seen you in a long time. But thank you on your off day, no less. And enjoy this series, Tigers and Giants.
Hey, Joe, it was great talking to you. Great catching up, and good luck to the Giants the rest of the way.
That's Tigers television play-by-play announcer Mario Impemba. Join us again on Sunday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco, the last game before the All-Star break, Giants and Marlins. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.